If Wayne Rooney read yesterday's papers, he must have been pretty hurt and angry. The Times headed its comment with the words, commenting on his red card against Montenegro the night before, with "an idiot abroad." The manager, Capello, calls Rooney's behaviour silly, and the tabloid's comments are unrepeatable. One day, Wayne Rooney is the darling of the press when he has scored a hat-trick for Man United. And a week later, when he shows his petulant side, he is slated. I think you could well call today's gospel a story of highs and lows, of highs and lows. Lavish preparations for a magnificent feast, a great buzz in the air, high expectations, and then an abrupt setback for the king. The invited guests have no interest in coming. So what was he to do with all that Fortnum and Mason's food? How deal with the snubs he had received? And this experience of the king is surely one that we can all at some time or other identify with. Our best efforts may go unnoticed or unappreciated. Our plans are poo-pooed. The people we think highly of don't want to know us. The suggestions we make about something get the thumbs down. And at times, negativity seems to hit us on every side. It goes on and on. So the question is, what do we do with the lows of life, with the pain of being given the thumbs down? Do we allow it to make us hard or cynical or bitter? Do we say, that's the last time I offer to help so-and-so? Do we build a wall around our hearts and vow never to let anybody in again to hurt us? Or worst of all, do we ease our hurt by inflicting hurt on others? It's not easy on a natural plane to refuse one of these options. Not easy to continue to be kind to people who are ungrateful, to be generous to those who haven't a clue how much our efforts have cost us. Not easy to remain open towards someone who has hurt us. Not easy to live the life the way it is and with people the way they are. And it's easy to remind ourselves to be a bit philosophical about these options, to remind ourselves that if we wallow in our own pain and hurt, it's ourselves we are hurting most of all. By hitting out at others and making them suffer for our own hurts, we are suffering as much as they. But that is sort of head stuff. And when you're sitting there holding your pain, the pain especially of rejection, it's hardly the time for a philosophical discussion. So we ask what the king did do when his invitations were refused. He could have called off the banquet and decided that he'd never invite those people again. He had reason enough to do it. He could have shut himself away in his room and sulked, but he chose not to. He chose to invite to his banquet those who would never have been to a party like this. In fact, he opens his doors to the riffraff of the town, to anyone who might be passing by who needed a good meal. And so what this is saying to me right now is that I can turn my heart into a reaching out to those who need my help, others in the same plight, not necessarily to those I might choose to be generous to. Maybe it is asking me to offer my generous help to those who need my help rather than those that I would be inclined to help. And maybe it speaks about letting go of the way I choose to give my love to people and be more sensitive to those who desperately need it and who won't repay me. The gospel as a whole is a serve to serve the people that God sends to us, rather than the people who might return my love. But obviously one needs a well-trained eye to spot the people who need my help and to be available for them. And as I've said more than once, the people who need me most are often too shy to ask for my help, or too ashamed to ask for it for fear of revealing their weaknesses, or too fearful of being rejected. They may have called for help in the past, they may have cried out and nobody came, and now they've stopped crying out. They cry inside and despair. Forgive me if I've said this before, an incident that happened to me once when I stood in for the Catholic chaplain at Selly Oak Hospital in Birmingham. But one afternoon I went into the children's ward and I was a bit shaken by the amount of weeping and wailing that went on. And I said to the sister, it must be awful if these 2.5-year-olds can't tell you what ails them. And she said, Father, we don't worry about the ones that are crying. We worry about the ones who have stopped crying. The ones who cried and cried and nobody came. And so it is, I suppose, reasonable to assume that many of the people around us that we meet every day are people who have stopped crying, but are crying inside. They have cried out many times, nobody has heard them, so they don't expect to be heard anymore. And surely it is when we are hurt ourselves that we often begin to reach out to others and offer them the love that they desperately need. So let's keep an eye open this week for the shy or the fearful, or those who have stopped crying outside and are crying inside, to be aware of the half-uttered cries for help that we meet every day from people who are dying to be called out of the hideouts where they're waiting for your invitation.